Let us pray. O God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the Good Shepherd of Thy people, grant that when we hear His voice, we may know Him who calls us each by name, and follow where He doth lead, who with Thee and the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Being a shepherd is not all it's cracked up to be. After worship each week, a vicar and his younger curate greeted each parishioner as they exited the sanctuary. And one particular day, several folk said their pleasantries to the clergy before an older gentleman came up to the vicar. The vicar asked the man how he had enjoyed the service. The man responded that his butt hurt, meaning that the service had gone on a little too long, to which the vicar reacted by making an annoyed expression, rolling his eyes, all the while the younger curate was trying hard not to release a laugh. The old man asked the vicar, "What was that sermon about anyway?" The vicar tried his hardest to give an answer, but found that he could not articulate the point. A lot of ums came out, a lot of grunts, but nothing else. Greatly disappointed, the old man left shaking his head as the vicar became even more irritated. And next to the vicar, the young curate stood in disbelief. Being a shepherd is not all it's cracked up to be. Pastors and priests are wounded healers. We play hurt a fair amount of the time. Consider some recent statistics about pastors in our culture today. 97% of pastors have been betrayed, falsely accused, or hurt by trusted friends. 70% of pastors battle depression. 1,500 pastors quit each and every month. 10% of pastors retire as pastors. 80% of pastors feel discouraged. 94% of pastors' families feel the pressure of ministry. 78% of pastors have no close friends. And 90% of pastors report working 55 to 75 hours per week. Being a shepherd is not all it's cracked up to be. It's more than that. It's so much more. It's phenomenal, actually. It's a calling. It's an awesome privilege to be an under-shepherd of the great and good shepherd. Jesus Christ is simply a humbling, profound thing. When people look at their clergy, they should see someone following in the footsteps and the example of Jesus. Someone clothed with the newness of life that only Christ can bring. When I was ordained to the priesthood, at the back of my ordination service booklet was a poem by George Herbert entitled Aaron. And we have it in our bulletin today if you'd like to pull it out. And if you've never read it, you're missing out because it's simply brilliant. The poem starts off stating what a priest should be. A priest is to be dressed with holiness on the head, light and perfection on the breast, with harmonious bells raising the dead to lead God's people unto life and rest. But alas, priests are wounded. Wounded. Wounded by their own sin and wounded by the sin of others. Behold what these wounds reveal, according to George Herbert. Profaneness in my head. Defects and darkness in my breast. A noise of passions, reading me for dead and to a place where is no rest. Poor priest, thus am I dressed. So things don't look good at this point. But here's where Christ enters in. I have another heart and breast, another music making live, not dead, without whom I could have no rest. In Him I am well dressed. Christ is my only head, my alone only heart and breast, my only music striking the air dead, that to the old man I may rest and be in Him new dressed. This is what Christ does. He clothes His priests so that they can proclaim, "So holy in my head." perfect in light in my dear breast. My doctrine tuned by Christ, who is not dead, but lives in me while I do rest. Come, people, Aaron's dressed. We know that the priesthood comes from Aaron in the Old Testament. So this is the imagery here. You see, being a shepherd is more than it's cracked up to be. It's so much more. Being newly clothed, shepherds are to lead God's people unto life and rest in Jesus Christ. But what about false shepherds? Surely you've met some of those. They exist in our world today. Maybe you can think upon someone in the past. How do we know what false shepherds are like? Well, in our Ezekiel passage, we see that the shepherds of Israel have not acted like shepherds. Sure, they've got the title, but they have not acted accordingly. In the ancient Near East, the word shepherd frequently was used for kings. And the nation of Israel itself was understood as one flock. The rulers of Israel were considered to be shepherds. But in our context from Ezekiel, we find that the people are in exile. They are far away from home. They need a good shepherd. But all they've had are some really bad ones. Some really, really lousy ones. And therefore judgment is coming upon these shepherds, for the Lord God says, "What sorrow awaits you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended to the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty, so my sheep have been scattered. Scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them." No one. The Lord's not happy. These sheep are His people. But their shepherds have not lived for the flock. They certainly aren't leading them to life and rest. They certainly don't bear the wounds of love. They don't heal the sick. They don't heal the injured. These shepherds have indulged themselves. They have lived on the people. They have exploited God's possession, His sheep, His flock. So of course, the Lord is going to intervene. But how? And when? Well, this passage promises Christ. Promises Christ, a shepherd unlike any other. He is the good shepherd. And a good shepherd will risk his life for the flock. But Jesus certainly does more than just risk his life. He willingly and voluntarily gives it up. Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. He has just promised life to the full in verse 10 of John chapter 10. The enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life to the full. This life that he speaks of comes through his sacrificial death. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and there is no greater act of love. Well, during seminary, I didn't get to go to the cinema as much as I liked, and so I was given a DVD one day by some friends of mine of an amazing motion picture, and the name of the movie was Gran Torino. And there's a scene towards the end that conveys sacrifice, where the protagonist voluntarily allows himself to be killed by a gang so that the gang can be arrested and the people he loves will be saved from their oppression. And as his body is being killed, it's no coincidence that his body makes the sign of the cross. There is no greater act of love than the laying down of your own life. The hired hands in our gospel passage, like the shepherds in our Ezekiel passage earlier, do not care about the flock. Their lack of concern is pitted against the loving and protective care of the good shepherd. And when we think upon Jesus' sacrifice for us, for we cannot help but think upon it since this text really brings it to the forefront, we are taken back to a song of the suffering servant from Isaiah 53. And in this song, From Isaiah, we hear the profound lyric, "By his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed." The good shepherd is the wounded healer. Jesus was crushed for our sake. He gave up his life because of his great love for us. He who knew no sin took our sin upon himself on the hardwood of the cross. He was betrayed and abandoned. He was stricken and flogged and whipped. He was pierced in his hands and his feet. He was mocked and jeered at. And to top it all off, a crown of thorns was placed upon his brow. By his wounds, we are healed. The wounded healer is the good shepherd. You can recognize the good shepherd by his scars, by his very wounds. But though Christ was wounded for us, though he was crushed because of our sins, through his wounds, we are healed. You see, the good shepherd desires to make us well, to make us whole. But the healing can only come through the wounds. You see, Jesus is exactly the type of shepherd we long for. He's exactly the type of shepherd we need. But as is the case in God's kingdom, things are upside down. The healing comes through the wounds of sacrifice, which are the wounds of unfailing love. We have a good shepherd, one who laid down his life for us. But what good is a dead shepherd, some people might ask? Well, he's not dead. He's not dead. He's quite alive. Though he was wounded, he was raised to newness of life. He has conquered the grave. Death has no dominion on him. It could not contain him. Jesus says in our passage, "No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again." Now, this one who had the authority to lay down his life for us and to take it up again is ours, and we are his. Such is our union with Christ. What kind of intimacy do we have with Jesus, the wounded healer and good shepherd? Well, he tells us. Listen. Jesus says, "I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father." Did you get that? The fathomless intimacy shared between the Father and the Son, Jesus shares with his people, the sheep. Like, this is something to be excited about. This is like, everyone's just like, this is something really to be excited about. Like, I mean, the intimacy between the Father and the Son, Jesus now shares with us. I mean, it's amazing. It's so incredibly amazing. This is extremely encouraging for us because we trod through this life that throws a lot of stuff at us. We have a shepherd, a good shepherd, who not only knows us, but who is also known by us. Well, what a comfort. And this is no doubt why Psalm 23 is something people frequently return to again and again and again throughout their lives. Psalm 23 is about the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd leads his sheep unto life and rest. The shepherd leads his sheep through the shadowy, dark places of life, even through death itself, to his very house. This is our shepherd. To help make this a little more understandable for our current generation, Nigel Mumford offers a new translation for computer geeks. So bear with me. "The Lord is my programmer. I shall not crash. He installed his software on the hard disk of my heart. All of his commands are user-friendly. His directory guides me to the right choices for his name's sake. Even though I scroll through the problems of life, I will fear no bugs, for he is my backup. His password protects me. He prepares a menu before me in the presence of my enemies. His help is only a keystroke away. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and my file will be merged with his and saved forever." We have a good shepherd. He can lead us unto life and rest because he died and rose again, because he is the wounded healer. And he continues to lead us and heal us through this life. No matter what we are currently facing, it could be health problems, financial problems, relational problems. Whatever your dark valley is, he is with you in it. He's with me in it. He will lead us onward, for he is good, and that which he has promised, he will fulfill. He will lead us unto life and rest. Remember that he is ours, and that we are his forever, and he desires to heal us still, even now. His sheep hear his voice. He calls each of us by name, intimately, powerfully, in his great love, to come to his table and to eat and to drink. He beckons us to come and be healed by taking his life into us and the bread and the wine. Hear him say, "Come, my people. Come, my sheep. Remember my wounds and receive healing. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I will lead you unto life and rest." I started today stating that being a shepherd is not all it's cracked up to be. What I meant by that is that it's hard work. It's sacrificial work. Shepherds are not wimps. But as I also implied, it's an amazing honor and privilege. Pastors and priests are called to lead God's people unto life and rest because they're following Jesus. And you can recognize a true shepherd from a false one by whether or not they lay their lives down for the flock. For the Apostle John, that's the definition of love. Laying down your life for someone else. This is not some abstract terminology. It has flesh on it. It means to die to self, to take up the way of the cross. True shepherds may not bear the scars that Christ bore for all of us, but they do have their share of scars because they love God and they love God's people. And of course, they are not perfect, as George Herbert's poem reminds us. That's quite clear. True shepherds are deeply flawed. They are not perfect like Christ. You put any clergy in room for 5 minutes and you can see that. But true shepherds have been clothed with Christ. Jesus is at work in them. He's healed them. He's healing them. And he continues to heal them. And one day they will be completely healed like the rest of God's sheep. True shepherds play hurt all the time. Not unlike some of the San Antonio Spurs frequently do against their opponents throughout the season. Yet in the pain, in the hurt, in the sacrifice, these shepherds are revealed to be true because they are walking in the footsteps of Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep, leading God's people unto life and rest because they're following the one who is the leader, who is the good shepherd. False shepherds are only in it for themselves. They care nothing for the sheep. They are not going to sacrifice and lay their lives down for the flock. They exploit. They manipulate. They shrink from getting wounded. They are not interested in the healing of the flock. They love only themselves. And thus they are revealed. They do not know the good shepherd. They do not know his voice. Contrarily, true shepherds are led by God. And they lead God's people unto life and rest. They have been touched by the wounded healer. They are true Aaron's dressed. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has given your Holy Son to be unto us both a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life, give us the grace that we may always most thankfully receive his inestimable benefit and also daily endeavor ourselves to follow the blessed steps of his most holy life. Amen.